Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I'm calling the October 13th Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners meeting to order at 1:31 p.m. And I just wanted to make sure before we start here, did Miss Marbs have a chance to meet Miss Donald and Mr. Williams?
I did. Thank you.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, guys. All right, then in that case, our next order of business is roll call.
Christopher Daly,
Present.
Charlene Marbs, present, Sean Williams,
Present.
Barbara Paulson,
Present.
Shelley Donald.
Present.
Considering we have established quorum with all of our board members present today, our next item of business is agenda item 3, declaration of conflicts of interest. Do any board members have anything to declare at this time?
This is Charlene Marbs. I have none.
This is
Mr.
Sean.
Chair, this is. Nope. Go ahead, Sean.
I was just going to declare that on one of the members on the list that is initial application, I do employ.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Mr. Williams, I believe you might need to disclose the name and
yes,
possibly recuse yourself from that matter.
The matter is between Micah Collins. She's an initial applicant.
Mr. Williams, I believe she was already approved, correct?
I believe so. I just know her name was on the list, so I wanted to disclose that.
Yes, so when ratifying. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Daly, I have none.
I just wanted to disclose that I do work with Ms. Healy, but I don't think there'll be a conflict. I just wanted to disclose that.
Thank you, Ms. Donald.
Thank you.
And Chris Daly, I have none. If we're all set there, moving on, agenda item 4, discuss, amend, and approval of minutes. Item 4.1, regular meeting session minutes from August 11th. And just a quick reminder, board member attendees in that meeting included Ms. Marbs, Ms. Paulson, Dr. McAllister, and myself. Those meeting minutes have been previously distributed. Are there any corrections or discussion to those meeting minutes as distributed?
This is Barbara Paulson. I must confess, I did not see that they were up until 1:16 this afternoon, so I have not read through them.
And Ms. Paulson, my apologies. They were up initially earlier today, but the September were up at 1:16. So
okay.
And Ms. Paulson, just in case the August meeting minutes were in the September folder, if you did review them a month ago, but we're thinking of the October. I'm so sorry. The August minutes were in the September folder. So just in case you did review them, but are confusing that with the September meeting minutes, which are in October folder, to make it more confusing. Sorry.
Did I mention that I'm on some medication?
No. You don't get to play that card now.
Shall we move the August minutes to November's meeting?
I second the motion that we do that to give everyone ample time to review the meeting minutes, Mr. Daly.
So,
Who
made the motion? You, Mr. Daly?
And do we need a motion for that, Mr. Harris?
That would be great. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll move that we move the review of our August 11th, 2023 meeting minutes to our November OT board meeting. Oh, do I have a
second? And again, I second the motion that we move the August 11th, 2023 meeting minutes to the November agenda.
All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Shirley Marbs?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving to agenda item four, sub item two, regular session meeting minutes of September 8th, 2023. And those were distributed recently today. And for clarification, Ms. Marbs was absent for the September meeting. And Ms. Paulson, is that true for, did board members have a chance to review those, or should we push those as well?
Well, if both Mr. Williams and Ms. Donald and you read them, you would have a quorum, a majority, right? That's if you all agreed.
I read them. And
okay. I read them. I read them too.
Perfect. And I had a chance to read them myself. So are there any corrections or discussion regarding those meeting minutes? Nope. All right, hearing no discussion or corrections, I move to approve the September 8th, 2023 board meeting minutes as distributed.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Shirley Marsh?
I abstain since I was not present at that meeting.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
I will abstain because I have not read them.
Shelley Donald?
Aye. Sorry.
Okay, so we have two abstentions, majority vote yes. So the motion passes by majority vote. Moving on to our agenda item five, review discussion and possible action on future board meeting schedule. 5A, B, and C, we have tentatively or scheduled November 17th, December 8th, and January 12th. Do any board members have any conflicts with those dates at this time?
Mr. Chair? I would have a conflict with the January meeting because I believe the December meeting is going to be my last meeting. I'm beyond termed out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yeah, I came on in 2016. So I'm termed out. And so now that we have a strong body to leave behind here, I will be leaving the board. But man, talk about learning things. Whew, yeah, it's been a great ride.
Well, we're certainly sorry to hear that, Ms. Paul. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, well, sometimes change is good.
Well, we still have a couple of months to thank you for your.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay.
One more month, so fun. So.
All right.
Sorry, your last board meeting will be December 8th. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah. So we can probably get a posting on boards to find another member from the public.
Yes, I think that's something we're working on with the board commissions. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, and hearing no conflicts that will impact a quorum for any of those meetings, moving on to our next agenda item 6, review, consideration, and possible action, complaints, investigations, and compliance. Item 6A, we have initial review of complaint regarding Teresa Pfeiffer. Complaint number 2023-OT-0008. And before I provide a quick summary and overview, I just want to take stock here. Is Ms. Pfeiffer able to join us today?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Ms. Pfeiffer. Do you have anyone else attending the meeting with you today?
Yes, sir, I do.
Yes, I'm Renee Ozipoff, her legal counsel.
Thank you so much. And do we have the complainant, Mr. Martinson, here with us today?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Mr. Martinson. And is anyone additional in attendance with you?
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so looking to our agenda, item 6A1, the matter of Teresa Pfeiffer. In quick review, there was a complaint form received, signed and dated on June 23rd, 2023 by the complainant, John Martinson, in regards to his child, a student at Gilbert Public Schools, which reported the following timeline. June 2022, the Gilbert Public Schools Unified School District received an outside evaluation from an agency called Therapy Tree Incorporated. In September 2022, Ms. Pfeiffer observed the student in an emotional level C room. In January 2023, we received another assessment from an outside provider and denied the student occupational therapy. In February 2023, Ms. Pfeiffer made false statements about the relationship between reading level and handwriting. Ms. Pfeiffer refused to test. In May, an OT completing an IEE stated she was confused to why the student wasn't receiving services. Ms. Pfeiffer had an ethical responsibility to test the student.
Hi, I'm Renee Ozipoff.
I'm sorry. Ms. Pfeiffer had an ethical responsibility to test the student due to receiving two outside evaluations. We did receive a number of additional documents and information to review, which included a one-hour meeting recording from a February 25th IEP meeting, various emails, and a number of different reports. But in quick review for the moment, we did receive a very detailed response from the firm representing the school district regarding the complaint, with rebuttals for each separate point made in the complaint. And bear with me one moment. In a quick review of that, just some of the major points in rebuttal to the complaint that was made. Just kind of starting off in a summary, when a parent submits an outside evaluation to a school district, the IEP team has an obligation to consider that outside evaluation in the context of providing a free, appropriate public education to a student if it meets the district's criteria. The school district does not have an obligation to accept the results or recommendations of the outside evaluation. All decisions made with respect to the student were made by the MET/IEP team. Ms. Pfeiffer made recommendations to the team, but was not solely responsible for any decision made by the MET team. And then briefly, in terms of the various allegations made throughout the complaint, allegation 1, as read previously, Allegation one was regarding contact information. Allegation two, that the school district received an outside evaluation from an agency called Therapy Tree. The district's response is Ms. Pfeiffer received the June 2022 outside clinical-based occupational therapist evaluation. Ms. Pfeiffer followed up with the student's general teachers who expressed no concerns. Allegation three, in September 2022, Ms. Pfeiffer observed the student in an emotional level C room. The district's response, Ms. Pfeiffer did a full screening in September of 2022 and sent home the results with no response from the parents. Allegation four, in January 2023, reviewed another assessment made from an outside provider and denied the student OT. District response, Ms. Pfeiffer is aware the parents submitted an evaluation report from an outside clinic-based occupational therapist to the school psychologist. Ms. Pfeiffer did not deny the student occupational therapy services. Allegation five, in February 2023, Ms. Pfeiffer made false statements about the relationship between reading level and handwriting. And there is a lengthy description here and a quick summary. Ms. Pfeiffer denies it in its entirety she made any false statements, and there is a number of points in support of that. And allegation six, Ms. Pfeiffer refused to test. The district's response is Ms. Pfeiffer did not refuse to test. At the February 2023 meeting, the team determined that further assessments were not necessary in the area of occupational therapy. The team determined that the student had the requisite skills to write legibly. However, his significant academic and emotional regulation deficits were the cause of the struggles with handwriting in the school setting. This determination was made based upon the input of all members of the team. And allegation seven, in May, an OT completing an IE stated she was confused to why the student wasn't receiving services. Ms. Pfeiffer had an ethical responsibility to retest the student during two outside evaluations, due to receiving two outside evaluations. And in district's response, Ms. Pfeiffer did not have an ethical responsibility to retest the student after receiving the outside evaluations, and went on to further clarify that matter. So I just wanted to, it was a lengthy packet of materials. Just wanted to try to give a quick overview of the sides of both the complainant and the respondents. But I would like to open it up at this point, starting with the complainant. Mr. Martinson, if there is anything you would like to add to the complaint or address the board, you may do so at this time if you so choose.
So I did receive the screening. However, at the time in August, I didn't have educational rights to Armani. He wasn't adopted until October. No, actually November. My concerns are that there were two outside evaluations provided to the district and to Ms. Pfeiffer. My other concerns is she is familiar with my other two students, and they were tested with no problems previously. At least one of my students I know that we sat through a meeting that she tested, that now that the child has been tested, I have shared the minutes with the board that he is receiving pretty significant service level minutes. As far as my statements regarding the combination of the statements made about reading level, the relationship between the reading level and handwriting, I have yet to this day found any scholarly research or any evidence that supports those statements made during the recorded meeting in February. As far as the team goes, the teacher that was providing the information was only a second year ED room teacher who really struggled with my son. My son has significant sensory issues, significant history of trauma, which has been provided to the board. I feel that Ms. Pfeiffer had an ethical responsibility to just the OT profession to test my son. And that's all for my statement today. I really appreciate you all hearing me, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Martinson. Appreciate that and your candor with us and all of the information you've provided. I'd like to also open it up at this time. If you would like to do so for Ms. Pfeiffer or counsel to make any clarifying statements or provide any additional information for the board at this time.
Yes, Mr. Daly, before we do that, I have one quick question for Mr. Martinson. Mr. Martinson, is it correct you all have now reached an agreement where your son will get the testing or get the services desired, right? OT services. Is that correct?
Yes, the school district has agreed to service him, and I did provide the latest copy of his IEP to the board, as well as the latest MET report.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I have a question too. This is Sean. Mr. Martinson, as far as what is your outlook, or what are you guys looking to achieve by following the complaint?
So I'm looking to protect the profession of OT. This isn't really, I feel that given the history of Armani, given the information that was provided to Ms. Pfeiffer, that there was some sort of obligation that she had to test my son. I do believe that Ms. Pfeiffer may have been coerced by the district, because the district has done some retaliatory actions against myself, and that she may have been just following orders of the school district. I do believe that there is an obligation here to the profession, that we had he is now an 11-year-old boy that can't read or do math that there is just an obligation to bring this to the board's attention. Not necessarily, I don't want to see Ms. Pfeiffer lose her OT license. We need OTs. That's not the goal here. The goal is to report that I feel that there was an ethical responsibility here that needed to be met to this child, and that ethical responsibility was not met.
Have you also looked at, because reading the reports that I've read and then also looking at the school district, because it seems like it's a little bit more on a systemic issue, more the system itself for the school district, because they have different criteria than an outside service provider. I'm assuming is your son receiving services through DDD from the outside service provider?
No, it's through Access, through Therapy Tree.
Okay, so Mercy Care? Okay, so there's a difference in systems as far as what they are trying to deliver services wise. I do feel like looking over the documentation that there might be a learning opportunity, but I'm just trying to find out, is this more with the district as an issue or with Mrs. Pfeiffer? If from your standpoint, is it more dealing with Mrs. Pfeiffer, because it looks like she was looking at the lead of the district providing, their expectations?
I don't have an expectation of Ms. Pfeiffer. I don't really know Ms. Pfeiffer. I sat through a meeting where Ms. Pfeiffer was presented again with information about Armani. The teacher was struggling with Armani. I agree with you that this is, partially a systematic macro level issue as well. However, my feelings are that Miss Pfeiffer at that time represented that macro micro system of the school district in the moment.
Thank you, Sir Martinson. Yes, Ms. Donald.
I read, as I'm sure everybody else did, I read many of these documents over and over to really get a good sense of this. And I just want to say, Mr. Martinson and Ms. Pfeiffer, I hope I pronounced both of your names correctly. I know this is not easy for either one of you. And so thank you for coming today. When I read back through everything, when I think about school-based occupational therapy services, I think about access to the curriculum. I think about least restrictive environment. From what I could tell, and I understand, Mr. Martinson, your significant concerns with your student slash child. I always say student just because we're talking school here. And I understand that. But I think that Miss, and is it with a hard P, Pfeiffer or Pfeiffer?
Pfeiffer.
She did at least, and correct me if I'm wrong, Miss Pfeiffer, you did two screenings. You were in the classroom regularly observing, and you didn't feel that you read the evaluations, but it didn't appear like you felt this was an quote occupational therapy related issue at that time. I read that there were lots of prerequisite skills that this student had, and other disciplines were dealing with some of the academic issues from what I could see. So getting sort of away from the systematic issue, you also had team meetings and the team decided, and again, please, Miss please, if yes. Somebody I think was there from legal as well, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the team decided at that point in time that no additional testing was required.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Including, Mr. Martinson, you were there as well, right? And,
correct.
Can I go ahead? I'm sorry.
Correct.
Okay. So if I may ask, how come, like, did you not agree? I don't know if we can revisit this because it was a meeting. So again, somebody stopped me. But at that point, why did you not disagree with that, those comments or statement or whatever?
We did not agree to those comments. That's why we asked for an IEE to be completed, in the IEE, which has been shared with the board, shows something completely different.
Oh, sure. But at the meeting, I didn't see it reflected in the paperwork. And, you know, there was a lot to go through. So
I didn't write the paperwork.
Okay.
The district did, but you do hear the advocate, the representative, Mr. David Jefferson, stating that we were not in agreement.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I just want to take a moment to level set here. Typically, we'll hear from both the complainant and the respondent prior to a lot of questions. So I want to make sure that Ms. Pfeiffer and Asipov, just to feel you've been heard and to make any statements you would like to prior to further questioning. I just want to give you the opportunity.
Well, and I apologize for jumping in. I'm still kind of feeling my way around this. So if I was disrespectful to either person speaking, I am so sorry. So my apologies, especially to you, Ms. Pfeiffer.
No need. If I could just clarify a few things. And I think what we really wanted to point out first was that those outside clinical evaluations were clinical as opposed to in an academic setting, which I think Ms. Piper tried to explain, and that's where the miscommunication was in that meeting with the advocate, that the student was able and had, you know, proficient handwriting and motor skills with writing, things that he already knew. But because, as Mr. Martinson had mentioned before, the student had strong academic needs in, you know, reading and math, and so when all of that comes into play, then maybe the handwriting is a little bit different. So again, I just kind of want to explain the difference between a clinical evaluation and sort of in the academic setting. And again, each time that those outside evaluations were received, Ms. Piper followed up with the classroom teacher. She observed the student. I also want to highlight again, as an MET team, they fully have to decide on evaluations in regards to an IEP on evaluations. And I just would like to point out that at that meeting with the parents, there was they also had brought an educational advocate. There was a special education classroom teacher, general education classroom teacher, the principal, Ms. Piper as the occupational therapist, a physical therapist, speech and language pathologist, a rehab department supervisor, school psychologist, a lead school psychologist, the head of special education for the district, and the district had an additional attorney in attendance. So this was a large group of people that came together, and they were very thorough. And at that time, with the data that they had and also the behavioral issues of the student, they made the best decision that they could at the time. And so I just kind of want to reiterate that, that Ms. Piper wasn't just out there lying. We strongly deny that. The school supports her. They are providing her legal services. They're in agreement with her actions. And so I just kind of wanted to reiterate that to the board. And we really appreciate you for allowing us to speak. And then Ms. Piper, if you also have anything else you'd like to add to that, maybe you can explain a little bit more with the handwriting in the academic setting as opposed to the clinical setting.
Sure. Thank you. So the... Let me just a second. Okay. So within the meeting, we were presented with a writing sample. I can't recall if it was from class or from home. And it did look different than the writing sample that I obtained in my individual work with the student. And it looked different than the writing that I observed when he was working with his paraprofessional in the classroom. So what I had tried to do was to offer an explanation that the mechanics of handwriting in isolation will often look different when the student then shifts focus to include all of the cognitive conventions of writing, such as concept generation, spelling, all of those things that we know are a struggle. So I was trying to explain that that would impact what the writing would look like, you know, in the when his focus shifts from, you know, just the physical mechanics of formation and memory, you know, all of that. And it includes something that has a higher precedence. That's what I was trying to explain.
Thank you both very much. All right. Having a chance to hear a little more from the respondent, do board members have additional questions at this time?
I would like to weigh in. This is Sean again. And for you, Mr. Martinson, I'm sorry. This is one of those things that it's hard in our profession to actually gauge, because you have such a wide variety of therapist trainings out there, and some therapists are only as good as necessarily what they've received, and some have special training in this area, some have special training in another area. You also have the actual systems that which they work in that have their own set rules of obligation for the individual that is a therapist. For instance, if you are working for private sector DDD versus school districts, there are different expectations for the therapist. However, therapists do have the right to interpret and also work on specific skills if they have specific training outside of what their system may ask of them. I do agree that the handwriting samples I received would benefit from having continued therapy services, but that's my own agreement from what I've seen. The writing samples seem to, from Mrs. Pfeiffer's standpoint now, they are probably not the same samples that she witnessed. I do also believe that if handwriting is going to change within a different context or different environmental stress, that we might want to work on the handwriting with the different distractors present. However, that's my own interpretation and my own beliefs of what I would like. There is nothing necessarily stating or making us responsible, as the profession goes, to follow a standard of guidelines in this type of situation that could maybe say, hey, you have to do this. The team made a decision to not follow through. And so from what I was seeing is this to me is something that should be more dealt with on a system level of the district, trying to find out what can further give definition as to what should qualify your son for services. And Mrs. Pfeiffer seemed to make her own judgment, and there might be another therapist that would make a different judgment, but I don't know exactly how much we can hold one person accountable for their interpretation, if that makes sense to you.
Yes, it does.
And if anyone disagrees, feel free to.
Just to level set for a moment, our primary objective here is to determine if there are any clear violations on the part of Ms. Pfeiffer pertaining to the Arizona revised statutes. Any further questions to help either clarify or further enlighten us if there are potentially any true violations of the Arizona revised statutes in this matter?
Can I ask a question here? I don't know if this is legal or not, but are we looking at a particular statute or just in general? Mark?
That is for the board's determination to.
Okay. I personally did not see any actual negative impacts against the statutes. I think it was more of a judgment call. Again, if I were the therapist, I would have probably handled things a little bit differently. However, that was my own judgment call. But the statutes don't seem to have been breached or broken.
I think from what I read, it sounded like obviously we've established there's a big difference between school-based and clinic-based. But from what I could read and ascertain, and the discussions that were documented, again, that I could see between Ms. Pfeiffer and the teacher and the team, it looked to me like there was a fair amount of communication. I think I read there were some accommodations in place and some things that were just in the classroom that could be used. You know, she did a full screening, and I really think we have to look at what school-based OT is. And again, it is different. It appears that there was access to a lot of variety of things and special education teachers and whatnot. So I saw efforts And I think, you know, we all use our clinical judgment. I use that word, our judgment as therapists and what we need to do moving forward to best serve the student and his needs and look at, you know, function in the classroom. So I think it appears to me that she did things to address the evaluations and looking at the classroom function, his classroom function.
Mr. Daly?
Yes, Ms. Marbs.
I'd like to make a motion, please.
Yes.
Given that, based on what we've all communicated, listened to, and asked, there does not appear to be any violation of the Arizona state statutes, I would like to make a motion that the complaint be dismissed against Ms. Pfeiffer.
I second that.
Thank you. It is moved and seconded that we dismiss the complaint made against Ms. Pfeiffer. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
John Williams?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. This complaint is dismissed. Thank you very much to both the complainant and respondents in this matter for your time and your due diligence. We really do appreciate it. Thank you all so much.
Mr. Martinson, congratulations on the adoption of your son, and we applaud you for continuing to work to get him the services that he needs. It sounds like he's had a tough life, and we hope that you, we just wish you the best on that journey.
Thank you, Ms. Marbs. I think Mr. Martinson dropped off.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. Moving on to our next agenda item, 6B, review, discussion, and possible action, whether or not to open a complaint. We have none. Moving on to agenda item 7, review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure. We have the matter of 7A, initial applications, 7A1, the matter of Jacqueline Morrison. And in a very, very brief review, Ms. Morrison provided a detailed account of the incident, which was mixed up as a college student that resulted in a baseless December 2014 petty theft charge, which was dismissed in 2015 and later expunged in 2019. Ms. Morrison provided a detailed account and all relevant information pertaining to the situation. Is Ms. Morrison here with us today?
Mr. Chair, she is not here. I did invite, but she was complete last month, but we did not put her on with all that was going on. So, but I did invite her, but she's not on.
Thank you, Ms. Iarola. And in discussion regarding the matter then, personally, I feel comfortable approving this application based on a charge from that was ultimately expunged. It's too bad it even needed to be accounted for. I have no concerns whatsoever.
I second that.
In that case, I move to approve the initial application of Jacqueline Morrison.
I second that.
It is moved and seconded that we approve the application for Jacqueline Morrison. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 7B. Under 7B2, the matter of Joshua Gonzalez, Moving on to agenda item 7B1, the matter of Christina Arnold, OT reinstatement application. In brief summary, the OT, Ms. Arnold's OT license expired on September 1st, 2023. We received her reinstatement application on September 23rd, 2023. Ms. Arnold was practicing without a valid OT license in the month of September of 2023 for a total of 5 days and 15 clients. So Ms. Arnold did provide us with that account of practice days. Is Ms. Arnold with us today?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Ms. Arnold, I just wanted to give you the opportunity, if you so choose, to address the board and provide any additional information or clarification if you would like to.
It feels a little uncomfortable to, I'm not trying to present, I would like to share a little. I have had a challenging year, and I'm practicing on a limited basis at a small business. But I've had a hard time keeping up with certain things like licensure dating and things that have gone under the radar. My baby, who just turned one, was born with unexpectedly with craniosynostosis and had a strip craniectomy performed in November. He's doing well. He's completed 7 months of helmet therapy following the surgery, and will continue to get follow-up, but I've had weekly appointments with him. Sometimes I live in Tucson. I provide services in Tucson, ironically, for birth to three. So I picked up on his cranial defect pretty quick after birth, but I did have to take him to Phoenix Children's for all his appointments. And so I was trying to juggle work and driving back and forth from Tucson to Phoenix with him and weekly appointments here and monthly there. And then unfortunately in February, my mother, who was my primary caregiver for my two young boys, collapsed while she was driving us, and had an episode of, VFib, ventricular fibrillation. And, I had to perform CPR with my children present, and she did survive and she's doing well. In the month of September, I was kind of focused on getting recertified in CPR, which I was nervous about. So I just wanted to share some of those details just to give you a little context, for why I may have missed this.
Yes, thank you so much, Ms. Arnold. We really appreciate your candor, and that is certainly quite a month. And this is in terms of what we're looking at here. This is pretty standard matrix that we use. I just want to clarify: do the two new board members have a copy of that matrix? Practicing without a license.
Mr. Chair, I did not believe that was given to them.
Okay.
It was actually provided at the last.
Material. I received it, but I do not have it with me at this moment. I apologize.
Sure. So, Ms. Arnold, I'll just go through it really quickly. We have a matrix that we use in terms of practice time and without a license. So for anywhere from 1 day to 1 month or practice days of 19 days or less, you're just issued a non-disciplinary letter of concern. So that's all that's going to happen here. You'll receive a non-disciplinary letter of concern. Please don't let it happen again. And your license is application is going to be approved and renewed. Just to ease your concern there. So I would like to at this point make a motion that we approve the. Ms. Paulson.
I just wanted to ask on behalf of the board. And, I'm going to go with you, but just looking at the board's responsibilities and things, if board staff notified Ms. Arnold through emails, through the program, at when her license was expiring.
Thank you, Ms. Paulson. So Ms. Arnold was notified on... June 2023, she got a 90-day reminder. On July 2023, July 12th, she got a 60-day reminder. And then on August 2023, she got a 30-day reminder.
Okay. And I'm not doing, this is a no shame zone, Ms. Arnold, but you know, it's our responsibility, or it's a responsibility we take on to reach out to therapists when their license are, you know, a little, because, you know, we all let things go like, oh my gosh, what, it's due tomorrow kind of thing. Yeah. So I just want to make sure we were following our rules and regulations. So.
And would you do that out of courtesy, Ms. Paulson?
Courtesy, okay.
Yes, and I did.
So us.
Sorry.
Okay. So, yeah. And that will continue with the new program, right? Ms. Eagarella? An automatic?
You'll have to ask Ms. Ganatra. I'm not sure about
Yes. That. Yes.
Yeah, so okay. With the new program, Thentia, that we will be sending out reminders as a courtesy.
All right.
So, and it's an automated reminder.
There you go. So, okay. That's it.
Thank you, everyone. So moving along with the matter of Ms. Arnold, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the reinstatement license for Ms. Arnold. Do I have a second?
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much, Ms. Arnold. Your license is approved and you'll be receiving your reinstatement license.
Thank you. May I ask one question?
Sure.
When you're applying for a reinstatement license, what is the start date on the license? Is it?
The day it's approved.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Thank you for your time and for listening. Thank you for your approval today.
We wish you well.
Thank you. All the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to agenda item 7B2, the matter of Joshua Gonzalez, a OTA reinstatement application. And in a very brief summary, the OTA, Mr. Gonzalez's OTA license expired on September 28th of 23. We received the reinstatement application on October 4th, 23. He was practicing without a valid OTA license for one day and saw two clients. Is Mr. Gonzalez here with us today?
Mr. Chair, I do not see that he is here. I did speak with him yesterday and also sent him an additional email.
Do any more board members have taken any issue with moving along with this matter without his presence?
I don't have an issue.
No.
Looking at our typical matrix, this would be a non-disciplinary letter of concern. Any further discussion pertaining to that?
I think if he really wanted to, you know, get to the fine details of this, he would have been here. But so let's just go ahead.
Do we have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the reinstatement application of Joshua Gonzalez.
Barbara Paulson, I'll second that motion.
I'm sorry. I need to amend my motion. With the letter of concern regarding him practicing a day without his license.
Thank you, Ms. Marbs.
Barbara Paulson, I will second that motion.
All right. Just to clarify then, is moved and seconded that we approve the reinstatement application of Joshua Gonzalez, issuing a non-disciplinary letter of concern. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on then to agenda item 7B3, the matter of Carrie Healy, reinstatement, OTA reinstatement application. And in brief summary, Ms. Healy's OTA license expired on September 10th, 23. We received her reinstatement application on October 10th, 23. Practicing without a valid OTA license for an unknown number of practice days. That was not indicated in the
It was 18 days. Sorry.
So no, thank you for the clarification. And Ms. Healy, you read my mind. I was going to ask if you would like to address the board and provide any additional clarification at this time.
Similarly to Ms. Arnold, it's kind of, you know, I'm not a person that likes to have excuses because it is, you know, an issue, it's a mistake that I made. But I guess just in an explanation, we've been doing IVF this year, and that I think the month I was reminded was the month that we had our second transfer after our miscarriage. And so it's just been a few months of a lot of medications and injections and doctor's appointments. And so I think it impacted my memory a little bit. And just, you know, with work, we're very understaffed. And so I feel like I've just been on like go, go, go mode for a while. But I don't know. I guess that's it. I feel uncomfortable.
No, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Healy, for your candor and clarification. Do any board members have additional questions for Ms. Healy at this time?
I'm just wondering, Ms. Healy, how do you typically keep track? Or how long have you been in the field?
I think this is my sixth year.
Oh, okay.
So I've been
looking at your lovely picture, and you look so young. So young. So how do you typically track? I'm just curious.
Well, honestly, usually I get an email reminder. What's frustrating is I did all my CEUs on time. I did my national certification, and my brain just went, "Yep, you're good," and just lapsed on the most important one. The state one.
And I ask purely out of curiosity. Again, I'm not giving you the eye. But it's just, it's been kind of a pattern. The last few board meetings, we've had so many people who we've had to deal with this more than ever since I've been on the board. So I'm kind of doing my own little survey of, you know, but it's usually, you know, a lot of major life events. So, but people just kind of, I can't believe I missed it, you know.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of tears.
And some people have been they've been in the field like 20 plus years. So it's just my curiosity on this.
I did get one email. But yeah, like I said, it was just during a pretty bad time period. Well, I'm sorry that you have to deal with all of that, but I'm slightly comforted that I'm not the only.
Oh, believe me, we'll all agree that you're not alone on this. So, okay. It's all from me.
Thank you, Ms. Paulson. And just bringing up the topic here again. So we are kind of looking at our matrix. We are kind of right on the cusp of calendar time, 1 day to 1 month, practice time 19 days or less. Is there any concern from board members if we go according to that timeline? Is there any further discussion?
I have no concerns.
I don't.
No questions.
Do we have a motion?
I motion to reinstate her license.
I second it.
Well, he doesn't have the matrix. So I'd like to amend Mr. Williams' motion to add a letter of concern, non-disciplinary letter of concern.
Thank you, Ms. Marbs. And just for clarification, it is moved and seconded that we approve the reinstatement license for Ms. Healy issuing a non-disciplinary letter of concern. All in favor?
I apologize, Mr. Daly. Yes. Was it moved by Ms. Marbs? And then who was it seconded?
It was not seconded.
Okay.
I only seconded it the first started the first time.
I thought Ms. Marv's clarification was her second of the original motion. So
I amended it. Ms. Marv
has made the motion. Do we have a second?
I second it.
It is moved and seconded that we approve the OTA reinstatement license for Ms. Healy issuing a letter, a non-disciplinary letter of concern. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much for your time and your candor, Ms. Seeley. We appreciate you being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. My mom says that she's going to get you all incredible edibles. So, or edible arrangements.
take good care, Miss Healy.
Thank you.
Oh, and thank your mom.
All right, moving on to agenda item 8, consent agenda, review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure approved by the executive director. 8A, we have 209 initial renewal and reinstatement applications. And I'll just go ahead and move that we ratify the 209 initial renewal and reinstatement applications that have been approved by the executive director.
I will second that motion, Barbara Paulson.
All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marr.
I apologize.
Aye.
Excuse me for interrupting. I'm sorry, I was on mute. Before we vote, is it okay if we just take off of that list Micah Collins so that Mr. Williams can vote on all of them and then take a second vote on that application so that he'll be able to recuse on that matter, please?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. And restating the motion, I move that we ratify the 208 initial renewal and reinstatement applications minus the application for, and I'm so sorry, the name has escaped me.
Micah Collins.
Micah Collins. Do I have a second?
Barbara Paulson, I'll second that.
All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlie Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
And this motion passes unanimously. Second motion, I move that we approve the application for Micah. So sorry, I can't see the list right now. Do I have a second?
We're going to ratify, right?
I move that we ratify the, I believe it's an initial application for Micah Collins. Do I have a second?
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
I can't vote.
Right.
I have to rescind. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes by a majority with one abstention by Mr. Williams.
Sorry, Mr. Williams. I still have to do roll call.
I'm sorry. I didn't know if I was supposed to say anything or not.
That's okay.
All in favor. Oh, no. Oh, sorry. The motion passes by majority with one abstention from Mr. Williams.
Well done.
I think we're good here. Agenda item 8. Moving on to agenda item 9. Review, consideration, and possible action, board business, and reports. And I'm going to pass this over to Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. So under 9A, Rules Committee update, the only update I have is that I will be scheduling a meeting this month with our volunteer board members. And as a result of what comes from that meeting, I will provide that to the board members at our next board meeting. So I would like to request that this be a standing agenda item. And if there's no questions, I will move on to 9B, update on matters related to fingerprinting as it relates to ARS 32-3430. And so as a follow-up from last month's board meeting where we had provided the information of DPS's result of them not allowing us to do background checks on fingerprint clearance or fingerprint cards because of the legislation and the change in the statute 32-3430 requiring a fingerprint clearance card, there was that motion that was made that we would allot the ability to accept state level background checks through fingerprint cards and fingerprint clearance cards. So we proceeded with that for applicants. I did follow up with DPS and they have informed me that they are still working with the FBI to determine next steps and they don't have an update just yet. I was hoping it would be promising. It was a few weeks ago. I was hoping by now we'd maybe hear something. That being said, though, myself and a few other executive directors from other boards that are impacted by this have come together and we are presenting this information to the governor's office and proceeding with that route to determine what may be next, whether it be an executive order or if we require be sponsored and make that determination in January when that open session occurs. So we are making next steps to determine how to proceed.
That sounds great.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. That's great.
Thank you. So I will move on then. So we have 9C, which is in-person board meetings. And if I may, Ms. Donald, I'll pass that over to you as that was your agenda item.
Thank you. I kind of wanted to talk to everybody about having either in-person meetings or kind of a hybrid and what the board thought of that. I feel since there's two of us that are new, it would be, in my opinion, a good idea to at least have some FaceTime. And I understand that FaceTime is also on an iPhone, but I didn't mean that. I mean, like not one-on-one, but you know what I mean? A whole group in a room, actually. It doesn't, I'm not saying every board meeting, but just to have, at least that opportunity to do that. And we could decide whether we want some people kind of virtual. I would assume you could do virtual or live, or if we just make some of them in person. Thoughts?
I would have to agree.
So I think if we're going to do that, then it needs to be all in person or all online. And maybe we alternate because what happened before when we tried to do a hybrid meeting is technology was not cooperative and we incurred a lot of issues with that type of meeting. So, again, I don't think it's a bad idea. And to your point, getting some FaceTime, but maybe we talk about doing every other meeting in person, to help with the FaceTime or however we want to move forward. But I'm just like, no to the hybrid because there were just too many issues.
I did not know that. And I totally understand.
Yeah.
Technology's a you know, it's rough. So
it's
sure,
a love
that's
hate
a great
thing,
point.
Right. With technology.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, I would love to meet all you guys in person. I think the issue that was brought up too is, what if we were going to be out of town? Is it possible to still, attend virtually and not just have it as a scheduled hybrid, but is it still possible to meet or not?
You would be on a call. I mean, we have the, you know, speaker phone that sits there.
Okay.
It's just some of the meetings are not that long, and the time it takes us to get it set up, you know, and yeah, to meet in person for 15 minutes or, you know, it is a lot of work, but it is up to you. And it's still a concern with me, myself. I'm not a board member, but just at times with people sick coming in, you know, it's going around again.
If I may suggest, there was an option that the athletic training board does that we do see, is that once a year they'll meet during elections, which allows some face time and also, you know, allows the voting process to take place in person. So even if it's something of a consideration, if it's a few times a year or, you know, however, just a suggestion. Because as Ms. Igarola did say, it does take some time for board staff to put together all of the material and things and the meetings and sat in person. Not that, of course, we do it, but you know, just as a suggestion.
Well, we definitely would do it. But yeah, we set up all mics and laptops, but I have no problem either way.
Would it be possible to help satisfy everyone's needs to perhaps have next month's meeting or the December meeting in person, at least that one meeting? That way the newer board members, Shelley and Sean, can meet us all in person, get that FaceTime that they need, and that's important as well, and to see the process in person. And then it's not every meeting, but we will at least have one meeting in person and before Ms. Paulson leaves as well.
I think that sounds great. I, now that I say, hey, let's meet live, I have to tell you, I'll be out of town in December for that meeting. But I had planned on Zooming in or phoning in or what, I guess we're doing Google Meets.
Yeah.
So I can't be in person in December.
What about November?
For sure. I am available in November.
Could we do that? Vicki and Ms. Ganatra, could we possibly do that for November, Mr. Daly?
That sounds great. And I just want to say I love the idea. And I was going to just kind of mention, if it goes okay, if possibly the technology situation might be a little bit better, I would love to see it maybe like on a quarterly, just a standing quarterly basis to start with. But, you know, we could, if it works out for November, we can see how it goes and decide from there. Great idea.
Let's check for November.
We're not on WebEx anymore. So maybe.
Yeah, that's right? True. It might
so
be better.
It might be better. It might. Yeah. Right.
I agree. I've heard some horror stories from other boards on Google Meet. That's the only reason I think Vicki might be mentioning, but we are very open to try, and November would be good. Would be good for us.
I think it'll be grand. There's nothing like sitting at that big shiny table, comfy chair, microphone.
Very top notch.
I volunteer to help set things up too if we decide to do that.
I appreciate that, Mr. Williams.
I'm with you, Mr. Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Daly.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the only caveat is that I know that the boardrooms in 1740 are usually scheduled a year out. I think the good news is I'm not aware of any other state agency that holds their meetings on a Friday afternoon. So I do think that Shana should be successful in securing one of the three boardrooms for next month. But just, you know, something to think about going forward is, if you do want to develop a specific, you know, routine, whether it's quarterly or annually in person, to let Shayna know so that she can make sure that she can secure a boardroom for your meetings.
Mr. Harris, that's a great point. At one point, we only had two board meetings rooms. One of them was out of commission. It was under construction. I believe that one is up and running.
I think so, too.
So I'd have to just check and see yes, which hopefully they're all three working in good condition. But that's a great point. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Do we need a motion for this item?
Please. Yeah, let's memorialize it.
I'd like to make a motion that we have November's board meeting in person on site. For those that can be there.
I second that motion.
I just want you to know that means that I won't be able to wear my jeans.
What?
What?
You know, that I'm going to have to put on my matching suit pants. But that's okay. This isn't about me. It's about getting people together.
I'll probably be in scrubs.
We need a second to my motion. Oh, was it?
I second. I think Shelly should do that.
I totally second that motion if Mr. Williams didn't already.
All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Shelly Donnell?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Well, I'm with you, Mr. Harris. I'll have to leave my denim jeans behind to find something more appropriate.
Yeah, dust all of our off. Outfit has to coordinate from top to bottom.
Moving on then to 90.
Where were we?
So this is the request for virtual attendance to the Occupational Therapy Compact Commission, OTCC, annual business meeting for Mr. Christopher Daly on October 16th of 2023.
And Ms. Ganatra, I'm so sorry. I emailed you an excess of information. So just to point out for this agenda item D, that is something I'm attending as a volunteer this coming Monday as the Arizona State Compact Commissioner. It's a board that's the annual business meeting, and that's something I'm attending Monday as a volunteer. So that's the end of that one. Sorry about that.
Okay, so that one will just be no motion or anything necessary.
So sorry. For item D, no motion. I was going to give that update in a couple of agenda items down.
Thank you, Mr. Daly.
Appreciate Thank you.
Okay, so then moving on then to 9E, which is request for travel, lodging, and in-person attendance to the Occupational Therapy Compact Commission, OTCC, annual business meeting for Mr. Christopher Daly on March 20th, 2024.
And if Ms. Ganatra, would you like me to provide any further clarification?
If you may, Mr. Daly, I know you brought some up, but I know Ms. Marbs wasn't in attendance last month.
Sure, certainly. So, agenda items D and I'm so sorry, E and F are kind of very much two related items. The what they're trying to do for the Occupational Therapy Commission is as much as possible get all of the state representatives in person. And they're trying to, or they already have scheduled it to overlap with the annual AOTA Inspire conference in hopes that they would get more commissioners in attendance. So what they're hoping to do is hold that annual business meeting. So that's the section that's directly related to Arizona and as a member of the Arizona board and being the board member who's appointed as the OT Compact Commissioner. So that's all of what's directly related to the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners. So it would be to attend that meeting in person, but it would be also a part of the national meeting for AOTA. So the request at hand or for potential discussion would be if there would be a possible way for my attendance in March to be covered travel, lodging, and conference fee in order to represent Arizona as the Arizona Board OT Compact Commissioner and attend those meetings and conferences in person.
So you're saying you need board approval for this?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, Ms. Paulson.
If Mr. Harris is going, yeah. All right. Yep. Can I get personal and say, now, are you booking a deluxe?
What's the total cost we're talking about?
Well, I don't know yet. The lodging and such opens later this month, so you can start booking toward the end of October for the March conference. So it would be travel at whatever is typical travel for Arizona state government employees, and any procedures that would be required to have that reimbursed, if that's even possible.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and Shana, has the board sent the chair to these conferences in the past?
I actually, Mr. Harris, I'd have to research that if historically we have sent the chair. I don't know, Ms. Igarola, if you're...
And it's not dispositive. It's just making sure that whatever we do today is consistent with past, practices. If we haven't and you'd like to go and the board, agrees that there's value, then you're absolutely right. All the flights and the conference and everything, there's a whole budget approval process that Shana would need to go through to get approval, and we need to make sure, and Shana, I don't know if you've looked at it yet, you'll just need to make sure that the budget would support such expenditures.
And just one point of clarification, this is brand new because this is the first year we actually have whoever the board member is who is the OT Arizona OT Compact Commissioner. And that position is actually open to any Arizona board member, public or professional member or executive director. So it would be whoever's serving in that role for the state of Arizona.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Paulson.
I see Dr. McAllister is here. Is he?
He left.
He's back on.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought maybe he would have some input as far as previous travel, because he was on the board for 47 years.
Can we call to a member of the public now? Or do we have to?
I was just going to ask that.
Okay, I didn't know.
Hang tight.
Before Mr. McAllister was on the board, there were board members that have gone to conferences. In the 20 years I've been here, maybe twice. And I know for the athletic training as well.
Thank you, Vicki. Yeah,
thank you, Vicki.
You're welcome.
Well, I think it would be grand for you to go. So let's just see numbers and more information. And I'd vote yay.
Yeah, I would like to understand the budgetary the full budget and how it aligns with your budget, Ms. Ganatra, for our board before I say yes or no.
Okay. Mr. Harris, is there need to be a motion to continue this matter?
Sure. Why don't we continue this agenda item for next month, and then hopefully you'll have some additional information to share with everybody.
Can I ask where the conferences are?
This year, it's in Florida.
Oh, okay. Oh, one is it says March 21st of 2023. I think, is that 2024?
Oh, that could have just been my error.
Okay. So,
yes, it's 24.
So it looks like they're back to back. I hadn't noticed that before. March, or they're all at the same place, right? Am I reading?
So right? When I researched it after Mr. Daly sent it, the OTCC is on the day before the AOTA.
Okay.
Expire. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Daly.
Sounds correct. Yes.
Okay.
So the OTTC is virtual.
So agenda item 9D was the virtual attendance of the OTCC annual business meeting, but Mr. Daly mentioned he's joining that voluntarily.
So okay.
That's to disregard. Then the 9E request and 9F request are in-person attendance, and they're both in Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
And I should mention, we didn't get to 9F yet, but
yeah. Okay. And they're open to, not 9E is open to all of us on the board if we, I mean.
That I, Mr. Harris, I'm not sure if you might.
I can, so 9E is the, it's the Occupational Therapy Compact Commission annual business meeting. And that's for the OT Compact initiative that we've been working through for a year mm-hmm. and a half. So it's for the person who is the state compact commissioner. So I'm the member of the board who's the Arizona State Compact Commissioner, and I attend all of those ongoing meetings regarding the OT compact and provide an update every month. So that's what pertaining to.
Thank you.
And the third meeting.
And what they've done to hopefully increase in-person attendance is they're doing that in conjunction with the annual National Arizona Therapy, Occupational Therapy Association, sorry, the Occupational, the Association of
the American Occupational Therapy Association.
Thank you so much, Mr. Williams. My acronyms are all mixed up right now. So they're trying to marry that up because they're also presenting about the OT compact at the national conference, which is why they're hoping to have various members there in person. Okay. So it's kind of one big initiative.
Okay. And for that one, it would be you and Ms. Ganatra.
We haven't gone to that agenda item yet, though, Ms. Marmson.
Oh, sorry.
No, okay. That's okay. That's okay.
Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we table line item 9E until next month.
I second.
All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
John Williams.
Aye.
Barbara Polson.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, now moving on to agenda item 9F. This would be request for travel, lodging, and in-person attendance to the March 2024 American Occupational Therapy Association Inspire Conference for Mr. Christopher Daly and Ms. Shana Ganatra. And those are the dates of March 21st, 2024. Please correct that, through March 23rd of 2024. And this, for myself, I felt I'd seen, and historically, Ms. Whiteford had gone to conferences to bring mm-hmm. back the you know, information that might be mm-hmm. relevant to, you know, our state board. And I felt that, you know, myself and Mr. Daly would be, especially of him being the OTCC, part of that compact, that you know, I could support that as well. So I'd included that as well.
Okay.
And do we have any of the costs for registration, lodging, airfare?
Thank you, Ms. Marb. So that would have need to be something that we'd provide at the next board meeting.
Okay. Can I make a motion that we table item 9F until our next board meeting?
Barbara Paulson, I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Darlene Marbs?
Aye.
John Williams?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
All right. Well, keeping in line with what's discussed, I've included 9G, which is board member travel. And so in our board member materials, I did include the board member travel information. So that includes the state of Arizona's accounting manual, as well as the out-of-state travel approval request. And those are the things that myself, Mr. Harris was alluding to, that I would need to submit on behalf of any board member, you know, should any travel be approved, or any conference, etc., lodging, those types of things. And that manual is pretty pretty comprehensive. So, and it's public knowledge, so it's something that, you know, I'd recommend if you are interested to please review it. All right. You're very welcome. Then moving on then to 9H, which is the 2023 Arizona Occupational Therapy Association, Arizona's fall conference. There's a lot of conferences happening. And this one was an agenda item that was brought up during a board member training by Mr. Williams, is in terms of the fact that there is a conference coming up. And there's a possibility of a quorum should others, you know, in this group be attending. So I'd like to open that up and discuss.
Could we have some more details? Who will provide the details about the conference location, dates?
So the I have that up here.
I have it too.
Okay, if you'd like to.
The conference is going to be held on the 20th and the 21st of this month, October. The idea was just having more than one board member there. And if we were affiliating together, would that be an issue? So we were just going to discuss who might be attending to make sure we would disclose that before, I believe is what we were discussing. I was supposed to be going, but I'm not sure if I'm going at this time because I've actually signed up to work with the strike in California that's going on. So I might be missing that weekend anyway.
I would like, is the conference here in Phoenix?
It is.
It's in at Midwestern
University.
Okay. I would really appreciate the opportunity to go. How much is registration?
Let's see.
Or Ms. Ganatra, could you send me the information?
I could. Ms. Marbs, this is just an agenda item, though, to discuss if there would be a quorum.
Okay.
So.
And any of us can go to that, though? Is that?
Yes.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. I can tell you the rates if you want me to. They're right in front of me, but.
And I'm so sorry for the confusion. What is the quorum pertaining to exactly?
It would, if I may, Mr. Williams, members of the board, I think this is being brought before you because there's a conference in town that may attract a number of professionals that sit on the board. Anytime the board gets together, we always have individual members get together. You have to worry about a quorum and people seeing that there's a quorum of board members present. And so I think in an abundance of caution, we were bringing this to the board to say, hey, are any board members planning on attending? And if it turned out that there was going to be three or more board members, Shayna would post something on the website to say that three or more board members may be attending this conference. However, there will be no board business discussed during that conference, and it is not a board meeting.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
Thank you. Okay.
And
so
I,
this is my first of hearing of any of the conferences. Were they mentioned last month?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe that typically that in the past the board members, you know, board has brought conferences to the agenda.
Correct.
Yeah, I think, again, because this one was local, I think we were just bringing it to everybody's attention as you know, best practices.
Okay.
That's good to know. I usually attend that, but I am actually not attending this fall.
And I'm not attending either.
In hopes that I'm going to Orlando in the spring.
I will not be attending the meeting either, or the conference, excuse me. So.
And Ms. Marbs, just for clarification, this particular meeting is primarily continuing education for occupational therapists. So it's various courses on therapy techniques and skills and things of that nature. So it's a large continuing education conference.
So nothing beneficial for board members?
Not really, unless you're clinical.
I'm not. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to move on. That was more of an inform and just a request to see. So I will move on then to 9I, which is our chairperson's report. And this is in regards to item 1, which is updates on OT licensure compact.
Right. Thank you, Ms. Ganatra, and I'll make this one short and sweet. So still the primary mode of communication regarding the OT Compact is the website, otcompact.org. The website is actually changing soon to a .gov, but regardless, if you put in the .org address, you'll still be punted over to the .gov address. They just thought that better reflected the initiative. But the couple of the main things going on is we did present at the NBCOT Leadership Forum last month. It was a great opportunity. It was the chairpersons of each committee of the OT Compact Commission. So myself from Public Relations and then the chairs from Finance and Rules, as well as the Executive Committee Director, presented on the current state operations of the compact. And the main takeaway is, everything is in the works. Their timeline is getting extended out. The main hurdle at this point is the database. So right now, unlike with physical therapists, how they did their compact, there was some type of existing national database. OT has none. So OT is joining up with, and it's escaping me, a couple of other national groups to work together on putting out an RFP for the data system, and then it needs to be built. So considering all of that, it's looking like the timeline for the OT compact is probably more into 2025 as opposed to sometime in 2024, but they're going to be continuously updating on that on the website if you're interested in taking a look. And the other main thing was they were really wanting to marry up the annual conference with the AOTA conference, and that has been successful. So they're really trying to educate the OT public and really spread the word around the national conference about the compact, getting more states involved. Probably about half the states across the country are now involved in the compact. Arizona, we were early on in the process. So that's kind of where we're at just in terms of a realistic timeline for the compact, we're probably looking more into 2025. So those are the major updates. And, the website is really your main place for information ongoing. It's going to be updated in real time and have anything new that's going on. Thank you, Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. It's a great update. All right. Then I will move on, if there's no questions, to 9J, which is Executive Director's Report under Item 1, Financial Review. So I'll be referencing the document I uploaded in the Google folder, which is the cash flow report. This is the most recent report that was pulled in October. And just to give reference, we were appropriated $64,875 every quarter for use. And our expenses are pretty heavy in the beginning of the month because of rent and any other, you know, additional expenses that occur in the quarter, in the beginning of the quarter, for operational costs. But we are still in the black and we're maintaining within our appropriation. Any questions? Okay, then I will move on then to 9J2, which is a review of recent board staff activities. It's a pretty heavy subject. We've been inundated with a lot of phone calls and emails regarding all the fingerprinting requirements. And on top of that, we have started Thentia migration. And so what that means is right now we are still in the workings of getting all of our systems configured before we move to Thentia. But the hope and the goal is that we will be in live with Thentia by November. Might look like November end, but we only have until December until we do lose access to Salesforce. So that is something we're working quickly on to make sure we get everything configured on time. And so, yeah, November is our deadline, our goal for that. Just for reference, the Athletic Training Board is in its blackout period, and that has taken approximately 3 weeks, almost now four, we're going on. And they had quoted us initially 2 weeks. And so the blackout period means that licensees, applicants will not have access to Salesforce and we will not be on Thentia. So that is a time frame where we won't be able to process any applications at all through the Thentia or Salesforce systems. And that's a date that I'll indicate on the website. And I'll also plan to send out an email to all individuals that are licensees. Unfortunately, applicants, that's difficult. We don't know who all the initials will be because they haven't applied, so we don't have them in our system. But it'll be on our website, so those that are, you know, looking to apply will be notified of the date that will be in blackout. I won't put an end date just yet because we don't always know with Thentia. With data migration, there's always going to be some issues or errors that we're seeing with the Athletic Training Board that we need to mitigate. So we, you know, we'll just plan. We're hoping for two, but, you know, we're planning for 4 weeks just, you know, just to know, just to be safe. Mm-hmm. And just another note on board staff activities. Vicki and I are still working the hybrid model of 2 days in office and then the remainder working from home. But we have by email or cell phones, we always have contact. If there's no questions, then I'll move on to 9J3, which is statistics. Under A, we have 4,728 current active licensees. And if there's no questions, I will give it back to you, Mr. Daly.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. Hearing no other questions for Ms. Ganatra, moving on to agenda item 10. Agenda items for next meeting.
If I may, I'd like to propose that we recognize Dr. McAllister for his time. And since we are meeting in person, I'd like to offer, you know, the type of, you know, rituals with the plaque and whatnot, just to, you know, if he's available, I'd like to memorialize that.
That is a great idea, Ms. Ganatra.
Agree. We also have the agenda item to discuss in-person meetings in the future.
Thank you.
And I believe we should discuss if they're going to be once a quarter, every other month, so that Ms. Ganatra has ample time to request the room, the conference room, to ensure that it's available.
Thank you.
And I think we've already talked about the travel requests 9E and F being on the agenda for next week, right? Or not next week, next month. And as well as a continued request for updating on the DPS fingerprint issue.
Thank you, Ms. Donnell.
And if I may, really quickly, an item we discussed as an agenda item last meeting that didn't quite make it. I'm going to request again an agenda item for next meeting pertaining to the AOTA professional policy E18 that we reviewed. The possibility of adding that as a link to the existing Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners website under resources under the physical agents and mechanical modalities page, having a link to the AOTA policy on that page, which will help provide further clarity for occupational therapy providers, thereby enhancing protection of the public.
Well said.
It even took my breath away.
Vicki, I know you're like, Chris, give it a rest.
No, not at all.
Yeah. I applaud your passion on things, Mr. Daly.
Oh, you may be the only one, Ms. Paulson.
Well, just wait until he gets in front of that microphone next month. Everybody buckle up.
Right.
Any other agenda items for next month?
I have none.
Hearing no other agenda items, moving on to our agenda item 11, call to the public. And it looks like we have one very special member of the public hanging out with us there.
Dr. Q.
Dr. Q, do you have anything for us?
I saw he unmuted, but maybe he's having microphone issues.
Nothing new. We missed that.
Well, if we can't hear you, Dr. Q, we hope we're going to see you potentially next month in person.
Yeah.
And since we can't hear you, I guess we can voluntell you that your attendance is mandatory. And I see he says, "Og." We miss you, Dr. Q. We hope we see you next month. What's the date, he's asking?
For the meeting next month.
November 17th.
He's out of town.
But we'll work it out. We'll see if we can find another time.
We'll get you that plaque one way or another, Dr. Q. Yeah.
I have a quick question. So the second Friday in November is November the 10th, not the 17th.
Yeah, that's a holiday. November 11th is Veterans Day.
Okay.
I believe it's a holiday.
Yes. There he is.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
We can.
I just got on my phone. I had the chance to jump in today and I'm like, I'll listen in, see who the new people are.
It was gripping, wasn't it?
It was exciting. The one complaint, I was biting my tongue. I'm like, I gotta keep my mouth shut now. But yeah, you guys are doing a great job, of course. I was going to say, I will try to get to November, but I did want to say, Barbara, I do appreciate your service. It was a pleasure to work with you, and you did, you know, great work your time on the board. I know you still got a few months, but I didn't want to get that in there.
Yeah. Thanks, Quentin.
Barbara, we're going to make you an honorary OT.
There we go. Did you guys want me to answer the question about the past? What was allowed?
On travel?
Yeah. So it never really came up as far as travel, but they AOTA used to invite the board members mm-hmm. to the annual conferences, specifically relating to what you guys are talking about. I would think that it should be approved for Chris to go just based on the connection with the compact and things like that. But we never looked at paying for conferences. It never came up, but we were allowed to accept that free entry into the conference previously from what I recall. But I don't know why they stopped extending that, or maybe they didn't. I'm not sure. But they used to extend it regularly. We would get approved to go to the NBC OT's conferences, but they actually paid for it, and now it's all virtual. So that's my knowledge of the history of those particular items.
Thank you.
Sure, no problem.
Thanks, Dr. Q.
No worries.
Well, do we have anything additional from the public? Nothing additional from the public. And hearing no further business, I move we adjourn our meeting today at 3:22 p.m.